Do you get my point? If the Bible was not the size it was, assuming that we are at another generation, you would not have known that Saul was before David. And there's something I'm trying to explain. Some stories are unnecessary. And the story of the person that God called before Abraham and his father, all right? The story of the person who refused his call is not necessary. We already have from the life of Cain what happens to those who disobey. You understand? So until the time of Abraham, because if you go and read the scriptures, if you listen to our series then, when we did the exegesis on the book of Genesis, all right, you will see that the whole of Genesis was written to get to the life of Abraham. From creation, the story was, a line was drawn from creation to Abraham. And all the stories were just on the side. All the stories were on the side. That's why there was no emphasis laid on the fact that the curse was upon Ham. Cursed be Canaan, we're told. Why? Because they wanted to tell us how it had to do with the life of the descendants of Abraham. And they were going to take the land of Canaan. Do you follow my point? That this is important. You only become important and relevant, all right? It's important you note it. When you decide and accept to follow God, even though you are at the age of 75. You follow what I'm saying? Otherwise, God will look like the blind God that can't heal anybody. And they've called him names like that before. That's why he had to say, my hand is not too short that I cannot deliver. Because they told him that his hand is too short, he can't deliver. They told him that he was deaf, he couldn't hear. They told him he was blind, he couldn't see. That's why they made gods that they thought were like him, images. So he said, look, that's not the situation. You have to explain to Isaiah, it's not the situation. The problem is that the people put themselves in a place where I can't reach them. My hand is not so short I can't deliver. He said, but your iniquity has separated you. So, I stretched out my hand, there was nobody there to be delivered. That's what I'm explaining. You make up your mind in your life, we'll begin that next week, courage to conquer. You make up your mind in your life that whatever it will take, if I will lose money, I will lose certificates, I will lose whatever, let me lose it. So that at least my life will not just be an average life. So that the predictions they made concerning what my parents gave birth to will come true to pass. Archbishop Benson Daosa. You've heard the story of his life. His father literally threw him in a dustbin. I don't mean they threw him away. The man dumped him in a dustbin. His mother sneaked away to go and pick the boy that had been thrown away and ran away with him. Bishop Oyedepo said that his father did him so wickedly. At the point in time, he was so sure the man wanted him to die. Those are the predictions of people about people's lives. And listen, if they don't reach out and walk with God and let God turn that blindness into something else, they will die like that. And these statistics will be written. Sociology will write it. Science will write it that when a man like this gives birth to a child like this, what always becomes of the child? He dies in a dustbin. And they start telling people, if we can do sampling for you when you are pregnant, that your child has this kind of problem, so that you don't have to dump the dustbin, let's abort it for you now. Yes, that's what they start doing. And God says, it's not as if my hand is so short, I can't deliver, that I can't heal the man who's blind. But for certain reasons, I have been unable to do that in the lives of people. Do you follow the point I'm making? Why did I say all of this? So don't worry about what people call disadvantages. If you encounter God and he opens your eyes, those disadvantages will be a very good story to tell. It will be a very, very interesting story to tell. From my experience, some of the most powerful healing ministries that the earth ever saw came out of the lives of those who were almost dead and God healed. If you ask many young people now, suffer like Ken Hagin for the first 16 years of your life, they will agree. If they are sure, their life will become like that of Ken Hagin. Do you follow my point? Yes, sir. And listen, you have a duty to make sure that your life encounters the healing power for your blindness so that your story will be a perfect description of the goodness of God. That's what I'm saying. The Lord is good. I said the Lord is good. I said the Lord is good. Now let me just leave that one there. And then, you know, I said at the beginning that I wanted to say something and conclude with this. What I've just said all this while is that Christianity is what it does. It turns our stories around. That's what, you know, I started that by trying to explain the fact that man does not live by bread alone. Do you understand that? So those natural disadvantages, All right? There is a lack of bread. And the Bible is telling us, God is telling us that it doesn't make any difference once the bread from heaven comes into our lives. Are you getting my point? And that's why we've been speaking all this while on the sayings of God. So let me leave that there and continue. Just one thing I want to say, and then I will end it. Just a continuation of what I was saying last time. Once I finish this, then we are out of here. All right? Now, I wanted to touch you to this message. It's about satisfaction. All right? It's about long life, and it's about satisfaction. Quickly, let's open to the book of Psalms, Psalm 90. Don't forget what I said. God doesn't describe what we're experiencing. He describes his desires, his will, what he wants us to experience. What I want to talk about today is the fact that God wants us to live long. It's a very simple statement, but I need to say it until we are persuaded about it. Things happen once in a while that makes us wonder. Sometimes good Christians die. Do you understand? Very good Christians, at least to our own perception. Men of God. Like I said last time, you know, a lot of things happened and questions began to be asked. And I had to answer a lot of questions and I don't have all the answers. And like I said, at the end of the day, we have one duty, to still focus only on what God says about the situation. Are you understanding that? All right. Now, God's word does not describe what bank you saw. It doesn't describe what you saw. It doesn't describe your experiences. It does not describe the experiences of good Christians or men of God who, unfortunately for us down here, they died earlier than we would have loved them to. It describes his desires. It describes what he wants us to experience. And that's what we must magnify. Are you getting my point? Yes, we must magnify. You know, David said, magnify the Lord with me. What you magnify takes over your life. Do you follow that? That's why it's so important. You must magnify something. Don't magnify those problems. What people do sometimes is that they magnify the problems. You preach and preach, then they suddenly remember. With all these things you have said, I know a man who believed it and he died early. Do you understand my point? What are they doing? They are magnifying a problem. You preach and preach and preach. He said, there are people who practice these things and they start telling you stories. What are they doing? They are magnifying the experiences. You follow? Instead of magnifying the word of God, instead of magnifying the Lord, he said, hallowed be thy name. What we focus and bow to and magnify is the name of God, is the word of God. And that's what we are doing, all right? Now, I want to just read this to explain the fact that God actually desires long life for every one of us. First of all, you've heard this said several times, and I want to quickly dispense of it so that we'll understand it. Psalm 90, people quote this a lot, talking about the fact that God promised us 70 years. Let me just read that verse 10, then I'll give us the background to it. Moses said, I just want to read verse 10 out of context, but we'll get the background in a moment. He said, as for the days of our life, they contain 70 years. And if due to strength, 80 years, yet their pride is but labor and sorrow. For soon it is gone and we fly away. Please look up for a moment. I want to quickly explain something. You've heard it said several times that God promised us 70 years. Have you heard that before? You've heard it before, say amen.
Amen.
This is where they get it from. And that God says sometimes we can live up to be 80. This is where they get it from. Again, you know, we often quote things without reading the context. I don't have time now, because of all the delays we have had, to go into it in details. I had wanted to read the whole chapter. But I'll just highlight a few things. First of all, if you have your Bible, if your Bible is good enough, I mean, it's detailed, look at the heading of that chapter. You will see that it's a prayer of whom? It was not a prayer of David. It was a prayer of Moses. There's something about that's important. It was recorded, I believe, in the times of Moses, of David. But this is a prayer that was said by Moses during his days in the wilderness. You know that Moses did not live beyond the wilderness. You know that. And let me summarize. You can read it yourself. He was talking about the painful experiences of the wilderness. He was not claiming or declaring a promise. He was, in quote, complaining about experiences. Do you understand the point? For example, their father Abraham, you know how long he lived for? 175 years was the length of the days of Abraham. Isaac, how long did he live for? 180 years, I think. Let me be sure I got it right. Yes, 180 years. Jacob lived to be 147. Do you follow my point? And listen to me. I believe, though I can't give a direct scripture as a reference, but I believe that in Egypt, the Israelites used to live very long. And the Egyptians did not used to live that long. And I can prove it to you. If you're going to read that experience, when Jacob encountered Pharaoh, when Joseph brought Jacob to meet Pharaoh, Pharaoh was amazed when he saw the man. He had to ask, how old are you? At that point, the man was 130 years old. If it was normal, what would have been the amazement? Are you getting my point? Pharaoh saw a very old man. He wasn't used to seeing that type. The man was 130 when he met Pharaoh. So it wasn't common to the Egyptians. I'm trying to bring out an issue. Before we think that everything is common, salvation by survey, according to Rabbi Zacharias. All right? What is common is normal. No. The fact that it's common doesn't make it normal. In Egypt, the Israelites had a long life that was far above that which was normal for the Egyptians. Except they moved closer. This I'm thinking now. Except they moved closer to the Israelites and learned their ways. And prayed to their gods. To their God. And forsook their own gods. For Abraham and his descendants, long life was very, very common. And that was why when they got into the wilderness, Moses would say, where is so and so present? He says, sir, he died yesterday. How old was he? He was 70. And it was alarming. Come on, why should he die? He was only 70. Are you getting the point? Then he asked, okay, all right, go and call Eliab for me. He says, sir, Eliab, he did not hear. Before we crossed that particular hill, he died. Eliab? That guy is a boy where I stand. They say, we know. He was 72. You are following the point. It was alarming. People were dropping dead around Moses recklessly. After a while, Moses will look for old people. The oldest they could muster will be 79. So he went and prayed. He said, this is iniquity. I know what caused it. You guys doubted at Kadesh Barnea. See the consequence now. Young men are dropping dead all over the place. If you read it, that's what he was saying. Listen, let me just read a few verses to point out the thing to you. From verse 7. He said, for we have been consumed by thy anger. Can you see it? And by thy wrath we have been dismayed. Thou hast placed our iniquities before thee, our secret sins in the light of thy presence. For all our days have declined in thy fury. We have finished our years like a sigh. As for the days of our life, they contain 70 years. And for those who are strong, save due to strength, 80 years. Yet their pride is but labor and sorrow. Let me leave it there. That is, the man is 80, he has arthritis. It wasn't normal before then. The old ones among us say, you know, I can't carry load again. You know. They say, why? You know, my back. And you say with pride. Say, our guy don't the age, yo. Yes, so my back. Moses said, this is not right. He finally died at the age of 120 for the reason that you understand. Were it not for the way things went bad? Eh? I believe that Moses would have at least, if it's bad, done 150. What would have killed him was loneliness. You know, when you are 150, and the next person aged to you is 85. You understand what I mean? Your great, great, great grandchildren are the old men around you. It's very lonely up there. It can be very lonely. Moses, by the time he died, the Bible says it clearly, he wasn't weak. He didn't have arthritis. He did not need glasses. He saw far clearly. He saw near clearly. He didn't die because he was sick. He died because God said, come. So when he got there, God just pulled him out of the body. Boom! Stand here. The body collapsed. They dug a grave. Put the body inside. The Israelites never, they can't find it till today. And there was a hidden reason for that. Those people. You let them find the body of Moses. They found the God now. You know they were coming from Egypt. They will embalm him thoroughly. They will embalm him, hang him somewhere. When they have a problem, they will go there. Moses, how far? Of course, they had to prevent this kind of thing. He went and hid the body. Went to hide it away from Israel. You don't know what those guys were. They were just coming from Egypt. What am I saying? Were it not for that situation, 120 was an insult to Moses, the way things were. He wasn't tired. He wasn't weak. And he wouldn't have been the first. So 120 was not fantastic. You must understand something that happened around that time, and it happens a lot. All right? When people lay down their lives for other people, that's what happened to Moses. It was a literal laying down of his life. Let me just sit on the matter of Moses. But I'm just going to bring out an issue. So when he prayed this prayer, he wasn't declaring the promises of God, which is what we often do. I've heard virtually every strong preacher quote this thing, telling him that God promised 70 years, and God never did. Moses complained that we have been so punished because of the fury of God, we don't live beyond 70. Like when a man dies at the age of 70, they say he has tried. And Moses says simply, what's the problem? Our days have declined in his fury. He said, our secret sins have been exposed in the light of his presence. So our days have declined. He said gradually. People started getting used to it. It declined gradually. And because of the word that God gave, that nobody that left Egypt and was up to the age of 20 will enter into the promised land. And you see, people were dying recklessly. Those ones that lived to be 80, they were the ones that were big men when they left Egypt. As we were approaching the promised land, they began to drop. You are getting my point? But this is a summary of it. God never promised us 70 years of age. He never promised us 80 years of age. I never saw it anywhere in the scriptures. He did not even promise 120. I know because the one we quote from somewhere in Genesis that says that my spirit will not always strive with man, but his days will be 120 years. If you read in context, from the day God gave that, the day Adam died was 120. God gave Adam a commandment, you have 120 more years to live on this earth. That was what happened. Because if that was the case, what happened to Abraham? What happened to Isaac? What happened to Jacob? These guys were doing 180, 175, 147. Were they breaking that commandment? No. What happens is that the Spirit of God was there, keeping Adam alive. After a while, God calculated things and said, at this point, Adam will have to go. From the day God said that Adam died was 120 years. My spirit will not always strive with a man, Adam. His days from today is 120. And if you go and look at it, very interesting. We're not going to do that today, all right? Very interesting. What happened was that everybody, it was shortly before the flood that all those old men died. Adam saw most of his children, grandchildren, great-grandchildren, many generations. He died not too long before the flood. And as soon as Methuselah died, the flood came. Now, that's just by the way. So I'm going to say, God did not say man will live to be 70. He didn't say that. What he said, actually, which you can quote, there are two scriptures we're going to read. One is from Psalm 91, just down beyond this one. Let's just read from verse 14. Psalm 91. Because he has loved me, therefore I will deliver him. I will set him securely on high because he has known my name. He will call upon me, I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will rescue him and honor him. With a long life, I will satisfy him. Everybody say satisfy. Say satisfy. He said, if what he said literally is, with length of days, I will satisfy him and cause him to feast his eyes on my salvation. That is, it's about satisfaction. It's not just about counting 1 year, 2 years, 3 years. It's about what? Satisfaction. That's the primary thing. What am I saying? You see, the Bible will tell you concerning most of those old men. You know, Job, I don't know how long he lived to be. Somebody calculated that he lived to be about 210 years. The calculation I don't totally accept. There's a reason why. There's a way he arrived at that. But one thing is sure. Job did not do less than 150. The man calculated it. There's a way he calculated it and said Job must have lived to be 210 years of age. I don't want to go into that. All right? But the point is this. It was vital to God that Job lived long enough to enjoy the salvation that God gave to him as a result of his sufferings. So his children were born. He saw them grow. He saw the girls grow up to be the most beautiful girls in the land. Gave them up in marriage. Saw his children, his children's children, even though the ones that died earlier were middle-aged men and women. Do you follow my point? He saw the new ones that were born when he was already in his 70s. And he saw their children's children, and he was satisfied. And as a matter of a rule, you see through the scriptures, you will see that this man was old and full of days. There's a way he used to qualify it to show you that the man was, in fact, he was tired himself. He looked around and said, "This is enough." I told you I was listening to some the series, My Life and Ministry by Ken Hagin. He said something, one of the last visions that the Lord appeared to him. So now at this particular point, you enter into the fourth phase of your ministry, and it will last this number of years. At that time, let me know. If you need more, I'll give you 10 more years. At the end of the 10 years, if you are interested, let me know. I'll give you another 10. That he said to him simply, "We'll be taking this in multiples of 10s. When you are tired, you let me know. With long life, I will do what? Satisfy him. I don't care what our experiences are." All right? You must live long, or what our experiences have been, until you are thoroughly satisfied. Let me explain what I call satisfaction. And this is what days are for. Days, I told you before, are to manifest the character of God. Are you getting my point? God has a purpose for you. There are missions for you to fulfill on this earth. For example, sometimes when I'm talking, what would I like to do? Ministry is in phases. In the phase that I am in right now, the things I want to do, like in fact, I've said it before, if the Lord were to appear and say, "Banky, put your house in order. I give you 5 more years, for you shall die and not live." Amen. May he not say that, amen? But let us assume. I'm not to bring that an issue. You know the interesting part? It won't cross my mind to quickly make investments for my family. I'm not saying it's a bad thing. Did I say so? No. I'm not saying it's a bad thing. That's not the first thing that will come to my mind. I said, I have 5 years. How many times did I preach a week here? 2 times. That one could become 4. I go do seminar. Hey, my father. That is, all the MP3s we did not accumulate in the last many years, we'll accumulate double what we have already in the next 5 years. I will write day and night. I will write, that is, the instruction I'll give my wife is how to distribute the books, how to have them published. Do you understand? And after I've gone, she mustn't marry a man that won't help her. You didn't hear what I said. That is, why? Because I have a sense of, assignment. So if you give me 5 years, I will try and condense everything I have to do. I will teach till my mouth will bend. Everybody I catch, no time for gist. Gist about what? I'll go around with the recorder. Israel will just come and say, "Pastor, good afternoon, sir. Sit down. Where's Bishop? He's coming upstairs to help you sit down." Now, there's something that Jesus said at teaching us that. And, yes, sir. 20 minutes. I don't bring a recording. Yeah, pull out the next MP3. Oh, that is, I'm not going to bring that issue. Life is about making an impact. Amen? Amen? God doesn't lengthen your days just so you can just sit there around idly and say, "Yeah, see, I don't need to grow tall." No, that's not the idea. The idea is about constantly producing something onto the earth. Do you follow my point? Yes, that's what it is. That's what it is. So now when God puts something in you, Jesus said that my meat, my satisfaction is to do the will of him that sent me and to finish his work. So God will give you all the days you need until one day you will have done everything and you say, yes, I have run the race. I have finished my course. I like one man I read of then, Theodore Epp. That's his name. The last message he preached was when I read the transcript. Preached to a graduating class of Bible school students. At the end of the day, he said to them, I can now say like Paul. He told a short story of his ministry. I can say like Paul. I have run the race. I have kept the faith. I have finished my course. There now remains a crown of glory that is reserved. He just finished that quotation. A few days later, the man was found dead in his house. I mean, that's glorious. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
That is the way it should be. The only reference, now having said this, the only reference I find in the scriptures to what God said about the length of days that a man should have is in Isaiah chapter 65. Quickly open to that. What did God say about how long you should live? Before I go on, don't forget, death is not an accident. Did I hear an amen?
Amen.
It is not an accident at all. I have scriptural proof. I have experiential, stories that are of people to let you know that death is not an accident. It may happen by natural accident, but the dying in itself is not an accident. Did you hear what I said? You know, the story I like to tell all the time is how Saul died. The story I also like to tell is how Ahab died. The Bible says that Saul died for the sin that he committed. Let's read it. I quote it all the time. That's 1 Chronicles chapter 10. I quote it all the time. I just like to read it out. It was talking about how Saul died and how, if you read the whole of that chapter 10, how he was injured. Verse 3. And the battle became heavy against Saul, and the archers overtook him, and he was wounded by the archers. And you know the rest of the story. Because of time, let's just quickly get down to verse 13. The Bible says that so Saul died for his trespass which he committed against the Lord, not because of a problem in battle. He died for his trespass which he committed against the Lord, because of the word of the Lord which he did not keep, and also because he asked counsel of the medium, making inquiry of it, and did not inquire of the Lord. Verse 14. Therefore, he killed him. Who killed him? We know that he died by arrows that were shot from the hands of the Philistines. But the Bible says that God looked at it and one day determined that it's time to take Saul out. And the Bible said, therefore, he killed him and turned the kingdom to David, the son of Jesse. The same story happened with Ahab. He went to Ramoth Gilead to go and fight. And God said, who will entice him to go there so that he may die there? Now, when he got to Ramoth Gilead, it was by chance. The person who killed him till today, they didn't know. He fired an arrow at random, what you call a stray bullet. And it hit Ahab. And the Bible says that it was because God said, who will entice him to go to Ramoth Gilead, that he may die there. Death is not an accident. It can happen by accident. It is not an accident. Are you getting my point? It can happen different ways, but it's not an accident. Indeed, our lives are in the hands of God. And what I'm preaching today is for us to understand his perfect will, not our experiences. Is what? Perfect will. So that we will seek to comport ourselves with that will. A few days ago, I was preaching here. Afterwards, a man asked to see me. It was a stranger. He used to come here regularly. It was the day I was speaking about the fact that God wants us to prosper. Being a stranger, obviously a man who knew nothing of the word of God and had very little respect for it, he asked to see me. So I said, no problem. Initially, a lot of people look at preachers and say, like, these jobless people who just want scheme, gathered where he'll be collecting money from. He looked at all of you and felt sorry for you. That this man will collect your offering. I know. I've heard them say it before. So he said that
that he finds a disconnect